Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Passengers awaiting flight 00H168. That's flight 00H168. Please approach the gate. The flight is now ready for boarding.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast, featuring Kieran, Kwame, Yah, and Stephen.
You London boys are crazy.
Yeah. Oh, ain't that a lovely sound?
In the building?
He's definitely in the building.
In the building. Wowzers.
I don't know. This feels rude almost, doesn't it?
Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Eid, Ramadan, everything, bro. Everything.
It's been a long time, you say you miss me. Word gets out, you shouldn't have dissed me. Step back, don't try to kiss me. Right about now, I'm 50-50.
Oh,
50-50.
You're giving all your age, and London. Punks. You're giving all your age?
Classics. When you're a modern man like me, you got to know where you've been.
Refers yourself as a modern man.
That's a modern man.
Eminem, fam. I'm a real modern man out here, man.
Wait. What about you, Stephen, to start off the year and the resurgence of this podcast? List three things that make you a modern man.
Okay. Obviously, why are you changing?
I'm a bit
checking the levels, fam. Okay. Well, modern man. Obviously, the drip. Yeah.
Modern man.
It's very modern.
Man's the drip.
The drip. My mindset. So.
That's modern.
That's very
much. I think he's trolling us.
A mindset. So I've got a drip, a mindset, and then what else would I say is modern? Just how active I am. Always on the go, mate. Always on the go. Rarely a moment to sit down. This actually is the first time I sat down all day. Yeah. So I would say those three things.
Drip, mindset, and the fact that you're always on the go.
Always on the go, mate.
So mindset, modern. Active, and drip.
Yep.
If you turn that around, it's actually makes mad.
Mad thing.
I think that is a very apt description of you, dear friend.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Oh, my gosh. It feels like a very long time since we sat down and done this.
It has been a very long time.
It's too long.
A long time would actually be an understatement.
We've been mocking it.
We've been absolutely taking the piss.
Can we just apologize for 1 second? And explain maybe a little bit.
Who would like to lead the apology?
Apologize for what?
Oh, there goes that modern man.
for the 10 months of darkness, fam.
We were so ahead of the game, we had to let others catch up, bro.
Ooh. Okay, I don't know if I agree with that, but I like it.
It's nice, but so we...
But also... Sorry,
these men might be sorry. I just want it on record that I am not sorry.
All right.
So modern. So we took a pause, as you know, last April, and it's almost like you know when it was back in the day, like you're playing a game on PS or Xbox, and you're like, yo, like I'm gonna pause it and come back to it, and then you're thinking in the morning you're gonna come back to the game, and you just never do, fam. That's basically what we did. We had the game on pause for all so long. I mean, obviously we took a break because it was becoming like quite taxing, you know, living our lives and recording and all this stuff, but we never meant to leave you for 10 months with no episodes. So me, Kwame, 1/4 out of home, I apologize for the lack of content and also the lack of rhyme or reason. So now you have it. Hopefully you enjoy.
That's what we're doing. Me, Kwame.
Man said me, Kwame.
Hey, we're an entity.
This is crazy.
Breaking up already, fam. We're done. No, but I also said in that same thing, I said 1/4. So I'm saying, I'll speak as an entity. I speak as myself, but the others can share. But 1/4 of the collective is saying, wow. I apologize.
So what? We all have to hit them with our own apologies. I thought you were doing a group apology.
What do you call it? What do you call it? Like Modern Stephen is saying he's not apologizing, isn't it? So we've already established that. So I'm not even sure how you man feel in London, but in Amsterdam we are like split.
Yeah, so over to you, London. London, are you sorry? That's what I probably want to know. You sorry?
The temperature.
I really love it. I like what Stephen did. It reminds me of you know when actors or people that actually go up to receive an award, yeah. They're like, oh, I'd really like to thank myself. It's one of those ones, isn't
that's
it?
Big Stephen energy.
That's like that was so Stephen to say that he's not sorry. And I do believe he means that he isn't sorry, and he wanted to take some time for people to catch up. And there has been some people that have caught up because we've taken a break. Do you know what I mean? People have gone on to do some great stuff, and we're very aware of the fact that we've left people without our voices, without our point of view, without our like knowledge and insight on certain things. And do you know what? Like, I won't speak for everybody, but I know we're all apologetic for not being on the airways for some time, apart from Stephen. But I've missed it. I've missed having conversations with you, man.
Let me ask you this, you modern, honest, and vulnerable man. Have you missed not being on the air /Podways for the last 10 months? Ego, modern man.
Missed not being on the air. I chat to you guys on a daily, so there's not much to me. Our thing, look, my thing is like, when Jay-Z stops for a while and takes a break, does he come back apologising? Comes back with another hit album, and we move on. The show goes on. So whilst you guys are apologising, I'm on that.
I like what you're doing.
I'm scoping museums so that we can put all the stuff that we've been doing somewhere so that people can experience all of this love and joy to give.
Do you know what? I'm fully with the energy that Stephen's bringing, yeah. But I'm also aware that we just left and didn't say nothing.
It was almost like Dave Chappelle-esque.
Yeah, bruv.
Dry, fam.
Apart from the fact we didn't walk away from $50 million.
That's what I was going to say, big. But, that's what I was going to say.
But hold on. I know we didn't walk away from $50 million, but we did walk away from some cash, though.
Some opportunities.
We really did.
I think we can round it off by saying, look, man, audience,
lovely listeners,
everyone out there on the airwaves, we were tired.
Yeah.
We were tired. Simple as that. And I don't think we were happy within ourselves with the level of content we were putting out before we stopped or before we paused. We were just going through the motions, life was life-ing, and we had a lot on our plates, and I think we held ourselves to quite a high standard of recording weekly.
Facts.
And that takes a lot of work behind the scenes. It takes a lot of alignment. It's difficult to get four people, in the same place at the same time.
Mm.
It was tough. And so we decided to take the break. We still been chatting. I think we all took a minute to ourselves once we stopped, We kind of like just lived our lives for a bit.
Definitely.
Some big moves were made. And, our situations were a lot different to 10 months ago. Now, we're saying all of this, but we can't sit here and commit to the fact that you're going to hear our voices every week. It's just facts. So whilst we are giving you context /apologising/not apologising, it's difficult to do this whilst still, having... When this is a side hustle and you've got something that you focus on predominantly, it's hard to like balance everything. So that's a little bit of context. We're all good now. We're all well rested. And we've had a hell of a last couple of weeks, which I think we want to talk about.
Yeah, and it just means that you guys will have to like cling on to those words. You never know when we might be back or might not be back. So each episode, cherish that. Hold on to that. Replay that. Dwell on it. We don't know when we'll be back. But we're here today.
Man, like dueling Deji. But Kieran, I have a question for you, my brother.
Oh,
I like this.
Oh.
It's a long time. If you're not joking. Kieran, what are we listening to?
Oh, my days. Do you know what's so crazy? Even when we was out in Cote d'Ivoire, you never asked me this question. I was waiting for it.
Oh, but, geez,
but if you're listening, you are listening to the Out of Home Podcast, a show brought to you by four Londoners.
That's right.
Capturing and sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own. Mm-hmm. In the building, across two buildings, we got the man there.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop. Repping that plus 4-4. I got myself Key and my boy Yaffe to the side.
That's me.
Over there in plus 3-1, we got Papi Qualms and the modern man himself, Stephen the Pamper.
So yeah, it's actually, no, honestly, like, I know we've done a lot in his first opening monologue, but it feels good to see you guys. It feels good to be back, and to, and I'm really gonna enjoy this one because we've been on an adventure.
We really
in
have.
True Out of Home fashion that only we can. I'm enjoying this one, and how you feeling right now, Mister?
Feeling relaxed, feeling confident, and I feel like we've got a story to share. So keep sort of flicking back and forth, fam. It's off-putting.
Stephen,
yeah.
Talk us through this half sleeve rolled up.
Could I ask as well?
Half sleeve down look before we kick off.
You know, when you're for the big return, you got to roll up your sleeves sometimes, and got to get down to business, and that's exactly what it is. Straight in from the kickoff, boys. But, you know, it's been a quiet start to 2024. After conquering Europe, we decided to go back to the motherland.
Oh, gosh.
In grand style. Just recently come back. And where did we go, Kwame?
That's a good question. We joined you, but we were all together in the lovely country that is Côte d'Ivoire.
Oh.
Bam, bam, bam. Which I believe since 1986, they've kindly asked people of English-speaking country to not call it Ivory Coast, so we should call it like Côte d'Ivoire.
Right.
An amazing country. This was our second time. We did some work with CAF, so the Confederation of African Football, for the amazing and dynamic and rich and vibrant African Cup of Nations tournament 2023, even though it happened in 2024 for branding purposes. This was the second time. The first time was in Cameroon. You mind good? I want to keep going.
Yeah, no, we're good. We're good. We're good. Okay. We're good.
First time was in Cameroon. This time was in Côte d'Ivoire. And we had a good time in Cameroon. But my goodness, did we have a great time in Côte d'Ivoire?
Boy, I'd have to second that.
And I'd have to third that.
Full house. The phrase, "This is not Cameroon."
Yeah, yeah.
Probably highlighted the whole trip.
Yeah.
But that's not to throw shade on our experience in Cameroon.
All. Not at all.
You know what I mean? And one thing that I think we all failed to remember when we were actually like saying it, and then it later came to our minds, is that when we were in Cameroon, it was the back end of COVID.
Yeah.
Like, we were actually taking, like, nasal swipes and swabs. Tests.
Taking tests before
every day.
Before every game,
Tests in inverted commas, because sometimes these tests were not thorough. But
that was the case of when we travelled out there, and, like, I guess not many people traveled to Cameroon as many people as came to Côte d'Ivoire. But, bro, that is not to say that Côte d'Ivoire is not an amazing, amazing country, especially where we were in Abidjan. Bro,
you're gone.
I came back and just kept thinking, that place is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, just for...
a real gold mine.
And especially to be able to, like, watch football the way that we watch football as well. We'll get into the cultural side of things in a bit, but I think, for me, the biggest thing that I took away was, like, being at the games, especially the final, and looking around and just seeing a sea full of black faces and thinking as if those could just be CGI'd. Like, yeah. This looks like... This literally looks like I'm inside a Pro Evolution Soccer game and the crowd has been computer generated because it was wild. I've never ever in my life experienced a stadium packed to the brim like that and have to be like, there's no white people here. There's hardly any white people here. It was beautiful, bruv. But that's African football. It's like, this is insane.
But even before getting into all of that, I think just how we got there, I think, is a story in itself. Facts. You might remember, like, last time Cameroon, I definitely was ill-prepared and ended up getting a... ended up getting a yellow fever...
yellow fever injection.
Which you needed on arrival, bruv. Left, by the way.
On arrival, bruv, like this French man pulled out a needle and was pursuing me on arrival, bruv, and I had no idea. So like now, I gladly clutched onto that yellow fever booklet and strode confidently into Côte d'Ivoire at the time, and then I was on the same flight as the twins. Shout out Kian and their man as well that do Keys Atelier. So that they do like a brand in Côte d'Ivoire, lots of like drip, fashion, celebrating African football as well. And then like, they moved about maybe like 1 or 2 years ago. So it's just by pure coincidence, we happened to be on the same flight together. And then prior to that, I was supposed to be there for the opening game of Nigeria's game. But due to Air France delayed my flight, ended up missing it. Ended up staying an extra night in Paris. And I defiantly left my apartment with just like trousers and like a jumper, like turning my back on Europe.
That night I had to spend in Paris.
I was not prepared for the snow. I was not prepared for that. I was in a foul mood, as you can imagine. But touching down in Côte d'Ivoire, lit it up. And I think the first thing that I noticed was just like the infrastructure, like proper roads, light, everything was in place. Like these may sound like small things, but these are to be cherished on the continent, as we found out in like various places where we've been. And so that was the first thing that stood out as well. And then also, my French is not as good as Kieran's or
as well. Oh, fraudulent Francois didn't try to make an appearance on this trip, boy. I realized I was way out of my depth, and I just said. Nah, man, you know what it is, yeah? I'm so ill-practiced when it comes to French that I just didn't. I tried, but when I started to get laughed at, I was like, nah, man, I'm not doing it.
We all got laughed at.
Fair.
We need to touch on that.
Abundant amount of time.
Fair.
Do you know what the biggest faux pas was? So, like, I wanted to say I don't speak French. So I said, I ended up saying that je n'aime pas Paris, which means I don't like Paris. And then I didn't understand the look that I got, and I was just like, I thought I was being helpful by just communicating my linguistic limitations when it comes to French, but I'd accidentally insulted people in French. And then I think the first night that I got there, my biggest revelation on the first night, and then I'll ask you, man, about your first night, was so I must have come in like after midnight, and then I was like still gassed, so I was like, okay, cool, let's go out. And then I was told confidently by the locals that the nightlife begins at 3 a.m. I didn't make it that night, but like I was ready to go out. It must be like midnight or what. So I thought I'd take a little nap. I woke up and then to text messages on my phone just saying like, where are you? We're about to go. And I was like, it's 3 a.m. What do you mean? Lest it be told, I am not one to miss out on fun. And that was the last night that I did not make it. At 3 a.m., apart from the night that we left because Nigeria lost. But apart from them, I was fully outside doing that. 3 a.m.
Yeah, you did very quickly. And I don't think you missed a beat when it came to actually stepping outside and being ready for 3 a.m. But to your point about, like, the way the country is built up and the roads and just, like, the infrastructure, I think... We later found out from some of the people that we spoke to about a man called Felix Fitbouni. I finally know how to say his name. But he was their first, was it president, when they became independent? and had a huge vision for Cote d'Ivoire many years into the future, many years into later after he probably lived as well, and which is why the country looks the way it does and why Ivorians are so proud of their country. So it was really dope to see, just like,
I agree.
Yeah, like the infrastructure, the motorway system,
the food.
Well, I'm not gonna say I had a great food experience.
You and have been on the ropes.
Yeah, I've been on the ropes for the last few days, to be honest with you.
But they did have, like, we were super surprised, particularly Kwame and I. You know, we like to engage in the old paddle game here and there. And
I'm not doing that again.
Prior to leaving, Kwame sent me a link of a paddle court. I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Because as you guys mentioned, Cameroon, when we went there, I think we just went to Cote d'Ivoire ignorantly, thinking like, we're going to have a similar experience. Yeah. Didn't do no research. No research.
Rinse
whatsoever.
And repeat, brother. It's so shameful.
Not one TikTok was looked at.
For real?
It was so guyish of us. Definitely not a modern man like our brother Stephen over there.
I was all over those blogs.
Of course. Man said blogs.
modern. But anyway, yeah.
This is the early 2000s, bro. Anyway, just having a paddle court, for example, and pristine paddle courts at that, bro. Which you don't even have. There's not many in London, let alone we pull up to Cote d'Ivoire, there's like these crazy tennis courts, just like uncles serving mean backhands. Like, it was crazy to see, man.
Stephen is like a feeling my back, which feels quite nice, so we'll continue that. I wanted to ask you, I think Stephen was talking about his first night. Were there any revelations for you guys over in London? We can start with you because you had quite an eventful first night.
Yeah, I was spoiled. I can't lie. I just came straight into I came into the thick of it. Like, I met you guys directly at the fan watch of Cote d'Ivoire against Mali, I want to say.
Quarterfinals. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, you got us in.
Stephen, you got me in, bro.
You're the one that gave us the link to the place and the reason why everyone could get in. So thank you for that. But continue, yeah.
So I've walked straight into that. I've got to the hotel or to the Airbnb. Was greeted by a very nice young man named Siriki.
Shout out to Siriki, man.
Is like the nicest guy. Him and Kwame became like very good friends and. So I've literally got to the hotel, to the Airbnb, dropped my stuff, jumped in the shower, and I've like flown out to come and see you, man, ASAP. And it was just like craziness. It was pandemonium. There had to have been, I would say, what, about 5,000 people
maybe
in that
more,
one area.
Maybe more.
Sea of orange. I've pulled up. Stephen's got me, and I think I've got there for the second half. And this is literally like my first hour in the country, first hour, 2 hours in the country. Mm. Like, wow, this is crazy. Of course, it was a game where Cote d'Ivoire were losing.
They were losing. Yeah.
And then they've come back in extra time, and then they've ended up winning. So obviously the whole city, the whole country was just on a high. Mm. So that's my first experience, just all that energy. Everyone excited. And then from there, I think we've gone out. That's the night we went to 40-40, isn't it?
Yes.
The illustrious.
Yeah. So the night before, Stephen had taken. Stephen had taken.
Don't do it, Skip.
Myself and Kwame out, right? And I was like, all right, cool, let's roll, innit? So we've gone to this place called 40-40. And honestly, I was in there for about 20 minutes. Cause I was like, this is not my vibes. So the next day, when it was suggested again, I was like, I don't want to go to this dead place. And I know I pissed off Stephen. I know what I'm saying, Stephen. Stephen was like, what did Stephen say? Stephen said something like, he just walked away, innit?
This brash walk.
Yeah, he just walked away.
Travis Scott Jordan ones, where.
But he was He was walking fast. You know when someone's being pissed off and they walk ahead of the group, you know they're just upset. Oh man, I felt real bad because the man was like, Steven's just trying to make us have a good time, man. He feels really responsible. I was like, oh, why'd you make me feel bad for? But do you know what, yeah? One of the biggest things that I think caught me by surprise, like initially on my first night, was after our really long journey from London to Abidjan, which I've realized didn't have to be as long as it was for myself and Kwame.
No way, all part of the band. No way, all part of the band.
And we're obviously very grateful for being able to get out there, yeah. But after traveling for, I won't say how long, but it was a very long and arduous journey.
It was a very protracted event, wasn't it?
Yeah, protracted.
Very protracted, nice.
Yes.
Very protracted.
Protracted. Protracted, I see what you mean. And it was at a very acute angle, bruv.
Extremely.
And, but the timing was obtuse. Anyways, we finally get to our apartment, right? And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to just like lie on this bed.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And I walk into the bedroom, yeah? And listeners, please just imagine, yeah? Like, you're super tired. You finally have taken off all your bags. Like, your shoulders are, like, feeling loose. And you finally see the bed that you're about to spend, like, 2 weeks on. And you slump into this bed, yeah? But there's no give. There's no give whatsoever. Like, no. It was like literally lying on a table like that, right?
Little park bench.
And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I got up and tried it again. And I let out a massive yelp. Kwame's like, what's wrong? I was like, Kwame, the beds, bruv. I can't sleep on these beds. Yeah. And then I told Steven, and Steven started laughing the next day. He was like, yeah. What are they called? Muku beds, mattresses.
The brand is called Muka Foam. Ironically, there's nothing foamy about that mattress.
Listen, but you know what's so funny about Bam Bam this and foam, sleeping bro. Man really got used to sleeping on that bed, bro.
It's good for the lumbar support, man.
The lumbar support. I don't know if there was lumbar support there,
Steven,
bro.
Steven saying all of this out of privilege, because one thing we're not disclosing is Steven had no time for us mere peasants on this trip.
We didn't see you once.
He was a 5-star hotelling.
Nah.
The man had a different setup.
You never came to Kokodi, fam. You never came to Kokodi.
Those was guys had me, a fam, different setup, me. Boy.
No. The context. I was there. No.
I want to hear your context. Not once did you have to make indomie noodles, bro. Not once. Not once did you have to make a boiled egg bonanza.
Hey. Oh my gosh.
No. It was not. It wasn't a luxury.
Light off, fam. Not once.
It wasn't luxury. I had many battles in my place. To be fair, like I got like the first night. When I arrived, they told me that they got rid of my reservation, so I had to room with an esteemed colleague, of Caps. The person had to leave their room so that I could sleep that first night. So it was far from ideal. And then there's several battles, laundry, food, guests. Like it was all popping off, and you know me, trouble seems to follow me everywhere I go. So it's far from smooth. I still have a case open with the hotel actually that I need to respond to in like a week's time. So it was far from ideal. If I didn't come to Kokodi, it's just because my schedule wouldn't allow me to. As you know, I was on a trip at 3 a.m.
You mentioning trouble seems to find me. Just brought like two occasions into my head where I feel like whenever I'm on the continent of Africa, I like to leave my shit places.
I'm happy for you, but I'm angry at the same time.
No. I'm sure
Kieran inherited.
Go wait. All let of me say it. Let me say it.
All of
let me say
it. Now I'm vexed. Kwame, hold the mic. Hold the mic. Hold the mic.
So, I'm sure if you guys are long time listeners, you would know that when I was in Cameroon, I lost some important valuables of my own on the cup final. Mind you, I lost, I think it was my headphones, my wallet, and my sunglasses. And it took, 2-3 days for us to find it? But we found it.
We found it.
And I was fully aware of this when I went to Cote d'Ivoire. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be very mindful of the fact that I left things in Ubers and in cars before. And I'm not going to make the same mistake again. I made the mistake twice. The first time, twice in like 3 days. The first time, I was in a car with Matthew and David. Shout out to Matthew and David and Tash. And we'll go into Elecodrome for the first time, which is a local eatery where you can get food from, traditional.
But you might get accosted as well.
But you might get accosted and you might get a runny belly.
No, you will get accosted.
You will get accosted and you might get a runny belly. So I've jumped out the car with these guys and I see Tash like taking a photo of the outside. I'm like, oh, that's sick. Let me get my phone. I've gone to check for it. It's not there. I've realized it's in the Yango, in the Yangs. Yango, for those of you who don't know, is the local like Uber service. But they real small. Anyways, it weren't even a Yango. It was like the yellow cab.
Actual regular cab. So you even had no tracking. You would have had no tracking
details. Yeah, so you don't have no tracking on that, right? And the car's taken off. And mind you, remember, I've popped my Achilles earlier on this year. I can't run. So I'm like, oh shit, my phone. Guys, I don't know what to do. Matthew takes off, bruv. He starts sprinting.
What a legend.
After this car. Luckily, the car has stopped at a red light and the police has pulled it over and we've able to get the phone. That was number one. The second time, yeah.
The police.
Hold on, Steve's got something to say.
No, you know how Kieran spends so much time with Yaf. So like all of Yaf's good fortune.
What have I got to do? Leave me out of this, bro.
It's like the power of osmosis. Like Kieran's gonna finish his story. We're gonna tell you of another story. Missed two items, which were no one sprinted, no police escort, no one came to save me. Just L's. So like how the other half live is good. It's good to see. I can't relate.
Why have I been dragged into this? I'm just minding my own business here, bro.
Yo, that was the first time, yeah? The second time was bad, though.
Yeah, Kieran was on the ropes. He said he wanted to go home.
Like a child.
I want to go home. This is Kieran. Kieran's like, you man, I just want to go home, man.
No, it was true. I thought it was over.
He was so pissed. He wanted to go back to the yard, bro. Phoneless. He wanted to go back to the yard phoneless, bro. You was down and out, man.
Oh, bro, I'm sorry. I was gone.
You was down and out, bro. I was so upset. You was finished.
Oh, do you know what? I got to give it to you lot because you lot held me down, seriously, yeah? Because do you know what? You lot could have really taken the piss, but you managed to just keep me level-headed because I wanted to go home and cry, blood.
Can I confess?
Was gone, fam.
Can I confess?
Huh?
Can I confess?
What?
He said, held it out. The second time it happened, I went for a walk because I was trying to understand how this is happening. I had no words of encouragement. I was like, I need to go away from the situation because I need to understand it in my head. I remember that clearly as well
because he tried to go up to Manjaro. Yeah.
So I went for a walk because I had to let this man. I couldn't believe it.
You know what happened, right? Well, in the back of the Yango, yeah. And I think what happened was you guys got out of the car and I was going to pay. But before I got my money out, I just put my phone underneath my lap. So I was paying, gave the guy the money, but I was so distracted about getting out. I just got out, innit? Walked away, probably lit a cigarette, yeah? Whilst the cigarette's like burning, I'm like, yo.
Where's my cellular device?
Where's my phone? Now, not everybody in Cote d'Ivoire speaks English, bruv.
Oh, that's an understatement.
Nobody really speaks English in there, bruv. And we had to accost a guy who spoke very little English to speak French to the Yango driver, who wouldn't give me back the phone until we phoned the Ivorian number that I was given 4 days before.
Which you didn't have.
Yeah, he was really on that number.
Which thing, I didn't have.
You didn't have the
so Ivorian. when that happened, I was like, you man, it's done. This man's not coming back with my phone. Like, I was so vexed. But then...
No, I knew the phone was coming back, man.
I don't know what it was, but Yaf really believed it was coming back. Yaf believed it was coming back. I didn't have much faith in it, that it was coming back. But also, I did say, I'm due some good karma in it. So, it might come back.
But you know what was funny? Like, during that time, so we were like 5 minutes away from, like, what do you call it? 5 minutes away from, like, Sofitel Hotel. We're at the bar, which is about to be the club, which is about to be, like, Bagatelle. More on that later. And then, like, I go to meet David at the Sofitel. So I walk up for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
This is during the melee of, like, Stephen being confused, Kieran being his feelings, and, like, Yaf being hopeful. And after that, I'm like, rah, it's David. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, man, I think, like, Kieran left the phone in the Yango. David's like, what? Then David realized he left his phone in the Yango.
It's mad. It's mad.
It was contagious. So, like, contagious. Luckily.
It was contagious, bro.
So, luckily, telling him.
David was laughing at me the time I left it in the Yango.
He was laughing the first time.
Yeah,
in the
big
Karma.
Time, bro.
Karma caught him. And luckily, he sprinted off into the night, but the driver hadn't left yet, so he was able to find his phone. So, two man could have been the down and out for phones, like, before we entered the club, which would have really ruined the vibe. And
it was good. I mean, like, I'm free for free when it comes to losing and finding things in Africa.
Don't rub it in.
But I'm not going to do it again. I feel like I need something that stops me from losing things. Maybe it's a sequence, or maybe it's something that I just have to say to myself before I lose it. Just to check.
Get those things, you know, like the rope.
Yeah. I think we made a little joke about that one before as well.
Phone lanyard, yeah.
Yeah, a little phone lanyard. Yeah. But I found it. By the grace of God and the universe for being on my side.
By the grace of Yaf, bro. By the grace of Yaf.
Blessed the grace of Yaf. Nah, man. That's just good people and good karma, man. And believing that the universe is for you. Like I said, if you believe the universe is for you, it will always be for you, man.
That could help. That could definitely help, my friend. Modern man over here. That could
it's fucking bullshit.
Hey, man,
bro. It's fucking bullshit.
Let's talk about some more fun stuff.
Yeah, sure.
There was a lot. I mean, you spoke about the football.
Yeah.
And the tournament itself was amazing. I think for the most part, like, we should give insight into what people didn't get to experience. Because I feel
definitely.
If you're into the tournament, you watched it on, you know, whatever streaming service was showing it in your country.
Mm.
You got to, like, tap in, whatever. But I think what really you could only have experienced on the ground was just, like, the vibes.
Ooh.
In the country.
The vibes, the people, and the amount of times people or Ivorians that are in charge of any kind of purse or wallet don't have change.
Oh my God.
For you when you try to pay at the supermarket, in the Yango, at the doctor's, for whatever reason, whatever's happening, they're not going to have change.
Small change.
Even if something you've paid for costs 1,800 West African francs, and you've given them 1,900 West African francs.
You're not giving 200
back. Let's say 2,000. They will not have a 200 coin.
They ain't giving it back to you.
I remember when Kieran flipped. He was finished.
I was done.
I was in the front because...
Oh, no. It was... Yaf actually pissed me off.
Because Kieran was losing his shit, yeah? And I was just trying to... I was like, Kieran, bro, it's like 40p, bro. It's calm, isn't it? Like, let's just roll.
It weren't 40p, though.
Like, let's roll,
bro. No, don't piss me off. It wasn't 40p.
It was 200 francs. It was like 60p max.
It was like 300. It was like 300 francs, yeah. 300 francs. But it was like the 300th time it had happened to me. So it's like, imagine losing 300 francs 300 times.
Kieran lost the plot.
I'm fully on Kieran's side.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm fully on Kieran's side. Like, I started, when after a while, I started saying, when they were like, there's no change, I was like, I insisted, okay, you're going to drive me until we work off this debt then. So I actually got the guy to drive me back to the hotel. I said, if you haven't got change, then drop me off back at the hotel.
Nah, that's paid.
Drop me off there. And he was asking, no. You're coming to work and you don't have change. Bro, are you dumb?
Like, small change is the most valuable thing in Cote d'Ivoire. It's like, I feel like I've still got like a 100 coin. But I was like, yeah, because I'm like, this is going to be like a memory of mine where, like, just going and asking for change is
metaphor
such...
for valuing the small things.
Yeah. Oh, bruv, I love it.
And I don't know if you, man, experienced this, but... it felt like any Yango car you got, or any Yangs that you got, it felt like you and the driver were driving on this path for the first time. These men had no idea where anything was. Like, I had to have Google Maps running.
That night, I lost my phone. We were in the car with what did he say?
Plucky whip. He said, this whip has got heart and nothing else.
Hey, that whip was a dust cart, fam. That whip had one headlight. On the road. It was, bro. It had one headlight, bro. And bro, no back seat belts. That car was doing the most.
What would you guys say surprised you the most about Cote d'Ivoire?
Positively. Yeah. Surprised me the most was, I think it was just like the that's it. The vibe of Ivorians. Ivorians are very humorous. Mm. They're very proud. They're very boastful, and they're extremely engaging. Like, they're very, what do you call it? I think we'll talk about this in detail a little bit later. But you know, Lizzie from like the lovely collective, La Sunday spoke about the joy de vivre of people in Ivory Coast. I think that really surprised me, how people are just so calm, they're so funny, but they're also about, like, banter, nightlife, football, whatever. Just the vibe of Ivorians really surprised me. I think people in Cameroon were a bit more, what's the word? What am I looking for here? Reserve. I want to say reserve, but not really reserve, but in a way reserve.
Like, a bit more serious.
That's surprising me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A bit more serious. But people in Ivory Coast were more relaxed and just extremely banterful, fam.
Kwame, break down that joy de vivre, because first of all, we didn't touch on the fact that Kwame was probably like our best French speaker.
Linguist.
He was holding it. He's down, our linguist. Bro. You and Siriki
were
in Franglish, fam.
I didn't even know he had it in from the last time he was in Cameroon. I feel like you've been practicing, bro.
No, not even. You know what it was? You know, it's really weird. I basically, every time I was speaking to these people, to these Ivorians, I was remembering, like, year 9 French, and I remember there was certain phrases that I would type into, like, a French, like, app on my MacBook. And then
You had a Mac?
Not a Mac, but whatever I had.
Wow.
Oh, wow, okay. Can I finish my story, you waste man? Can I finish my story? So basically, I was just thinking about these key terms for like, oh, how far is it? Turn left, turn right. How much? It's too much. It's too expensive. And so every time I was thinking about what to say, I kept thinking about my year 9 textbook or a certain app that I'd entered the English phrase in and try to remember that. So it was quite surreal
apps
trying to remember that
nine.
Process. No. It was some kind of laptop. It doesn't matter, bro. Anyways, you have to answer your question. It's the feeling of like being who you are, and it's just like the joy and excitement that naturally is found among a lot of Ivorians. It's just a very happy-go-lucky people, very proud,
big time.
Very friendly, but also at the same time. If shit fucks up, they will laugh at you in your face, bro.
Yeah.
Not like ha ha, but like if something's a little bit funny, they will.
They'll let you know.
Yeah. They will laugh. And like me and Yaf have plenty of occasions of this, but there was one occasion in particular where we tried to buy some croissants.
Just two.
The croissants cost 800 West African francs, so 400 each. I gave the woman a 1,000 note. Cote d'Ivoire shares a border with Ghana.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
She then asked me, am I from Ghana? I said, yes. I was like, oh, maybe she speaks Cree. I spoke Cree to her. She still kept laughing. Then she asked, like, Sir Ricky, for a little bit of a breakdown in the confusion about what's happening, because she isn't sure how many, she isn't sure how many like croissants we want. So in perfect French, they're speaking for like 38 seconds about this kind of world that we've kind of immersed ourselves in, about trying to see how many croissants we want and are going to take, that even though we want to pay for two. And then often I remember Suriki says 4 or 5. I'm like, rah. It says 800. We paid for 1,000. Surely we wouldn't get 2. But anyway, so me and Yaf are kind of excited / perturbed / intrigued about what's going to happen. Kieran, Stephen, and lovely listeners, the lady backs out the prongs and she puts 2 croissants in the bag. So for 3 minutes, with perfect French, Ricky has somehow confused this lovely lady, and she's asked me if I speak Ghanaian. I've then spoken some, and she's been like, okay, like, how does this help me? And it's like, bruv. And it's like, they were laughing, and there was nothing malicious. It was just like, raw, like, you guys, like,
what's going on?
Yeah. And it shows you sometimes that languages aren't your friend, because the person that spoke the language made it even more complex. But, yeah, just a vibe, man. Just a really good vibe. Honestly, you, man, when I came back, my heart was so full.
Yeah, same.
Like, yeah, facts.
I think we left on the Wednesday, and we didn't receive confirmation of our flights until maybe a little bit, like, maybe like four hours before that. Well, obviously we knew we were going, but it's not the confirmation.
I didn't know it was going until the last minute, bro. Honestly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, because you had some issues with your ticket, but it was just an amazing, and also I think more than Cameroon as well. Like, we had experiences together at the games, and like Nigeria were going far. The host nation went really far and obviously won it in the end.
That's crazy, like, that they got all the way to, like, the end, by the way.
Exactly. That's such a privilege, you man, that we were there to experience it.
Yeah. So
not only that, we were there with obviously, like, you know, the usual hitters of the CAF crew, but David was out there.
Yeah.
A dear friend of the show has been on the pod before. Tash was out there. You know, these are all friends of ours that have Nigerian heritage, but born and raised in London. We met them in Amsterdam. And Mathieu, the living legend, fam. Mm. A half French, half Ivorian man that, like, basically, like, knew everyone separately, but never together. And he was out there, like, living his best life in his home country. And it added so much, like textures and layers, you understand?
Yeah,
and like we had different experiences. So some man were in a hotel, some man in bed and breakfast, and some man were in an Airbnb, but we were all there together, and like, you know, like we, ugh, just an amazing time, fam. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Just covering on the football side of things before we go into all other things, because I'll mention a couple of topics and then we'll see where we... Huh? Not talking about Ghana. Like, there's no need. You may have suffered enough. But... Now, to cover the tournament, and then obviously following Nigeria as well, and being, like, really close to the team all the way to the end. Like, I think, because the last AFCON, I left you, man, for the final. I was done with covering. So I didn't actually go to the final last time. So, like, now doing the whole run-up with the team, I think what impressed me about the tournament was just kind of, like, the organisation, how everything was structured, and then just the fans. So I think a lot of people don't realise, but there's no, like, segregation in the seating at these tournaments. So it means that rival fans are sitting next to each other. And I don't know how you guys found it, but, like, it's such a difference from, like, European football, the Premier League, where, you know, like, fans are, like, kind of, like, just shouting obscenities at each other for, like, 90 minutes, and it's kind of, like, this kind of, like, tribalism. But during this tournament, it was just kind of, like, the only battles were kind of, like, dance battles or just kind of, like, singing and music. Like, I don't know if you guys have... you were in Cameroon, but Cameroon wasn't... because it was just the back end of COVID, it wasn't as full as it was for Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. But, like, how did you guys feel the atmosphere in the stadium? How much of a difference was it? Like, I mean, I know, like, Yaf, you go to Ajax games quite often, and then Kieran, you go to games when you can, and Kwame as well. But, like, I don't think people understand how different it is to be in an environment where people aren't trying to, like, rip each other, or it's just kind of just, like, everybody's just united by vibes.
My take on it is that when I was in the stadium with you guys, there were a lot more casual fans, and there were a lot more people there that were there to support, were proud of their country and there to support their country first and foremost. And so, like, they could get a corner and the crowd will be jumping off their feet, like, celebrating as if a winner was scored. Versus, you know, when you go to, like, a Prem game or to Ajax or whoever, where it's a little bit different. But, yeah, I just feel like literally every moment, every second of the games were a celebration. And, you know, when we spoke to El Hadj Diouf, he was saying something similar, where he's like, all African tournaments just feel like a carnival. Like, the whole, from the start to finish, it feels like a carnival. And I think the experience in the grounds were no different. The games were no different. Like, it's just one big celebration of everything Africa. And that was just one thing that I loved about the experience, man. Like, you just have all these people from the diaspora pulling up, and I feel like this tournament specifically, there were more people coming, you know, from the likes of, let's say, Paris. We met a lot of people from Paris and different parts of Europe. So again, Steve?
No, so they came out in their droves. It felt like you were in Paris at one point.
Yeah, and that was sick. Like, that's so important, because who knows the inspiration that these people have got now from being in Cote d'Ivoire? Who knows what businesses they're going to want to set up, what pop-ups, activations, et cetera, et cetera. I just feel like the one thing that was quite consistent for me, speaking to a number of people, is like how intentional they are with, you know, learning infrastructure, business, all that stuff in Europe, but then wanting to, like, bring it back to Africa and set up shop in Africa. I thought that was really interesting/important to hear, because, yeah, I know I've gone kind of like transgressed from your original question, Stephen, but I think you know, like, that celebration, it didn't just the celebrations in stadium didn't just feel like a celebration of football. It felt like a celebration of everything that is Africa, and our whole time there felt like that to me. Like, yeah, whether it was a party, whether it was just like being in a Yango, driving through traffic, it's just like the vibe of the country was just immaculate, bro. So yeah. I think we said it during one of our conversations with the La Sunday gang. You'll have more context on who La Sunday are when we drop that episode. But, you know, there was just like this sense of pride about being Ivorian. And I remember saying in that conversation, like, you know, as people who hold British passports, we don't necessarily talk about the UK with as much pride. And I kind of thought to myself, like, wow, I wonder. Stephen, you have it, for example, with Nigeria. Like, you're a proud Nigerian. Like, you wear that on your sleeve. But it did make me question and think to myself, like, I don't necessarily feel like this about the UK. And for, you know, other reasons, experience, I haven't really, like, been able to tap into Trinidad as much as I would like. So it's like, I wonder how that pride must feel and, like, how it manifests within itself. And then I wondered to myself, how many other people feel like me, where it's like, you know, they've lived and grown up in the UK, but they don't necessarily feel that, like, connection or sense of pride from being there. I just thought that was really interesting.
No, I think it's a very interesting point, and just how different it is in a different perspective, because especially, like, back home, I think a lot of people from the diaspora don't have that connection, and it's for obvious reasons, obviously, with the monarchy and kind of like the history with trying to, like, slave trade and everything like that. So it's a bit hard to feel that. But I always felt that you guys got that from kind of like either your Trini side or Kieran from your Jamaican roots, and then I guess Kwame from Ghana. So it's interesting to see after you see that even from your Trini side that you still feel like there's still room to tap into that on that side, because I feel like I thought that's where you would get your preference. Because I rarely talk about England, to be honest with you. I'm always, you know me, but I'll take that crimson passport. I still got a crimson passport, so I'll take
crimson
all the benefits of that. I'll take. So Rishi Sunak, if you're listening, like allow me the passport thing. That, but
but you know what it is?
Can you imagine? Access denied.
Do you know what I think it is, though, Stephen? Though, like, I think even though we do get like a strong sense of pride from where we come from in the Caribbean, I think like knowing the history of how we got there and being able to connect with individuals who know exactly where they're from in Africa is a different sort of like knowing and a different sense sort of pride. Like Caribbeans, unless they have the ability to go back to find out what tribe they're actually from, they will never know where they're from on the continent of Africa. So being able to be anywhere close to like that feeling of blackness and knowing exactly where you come from is a different sort of like feeling that you can't really relate to unless like you're there. Do you know what I mean? And it's beautiful, bruv. It's such a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? Like, and we're very proud of where we come from in the Caribbean. Like, don't get that twisted. I'm a proud Jamaican man. Yas a very proud Trinidadian. Do you know what I mean? But it's also like, wow, you get to go back to Africa, and like, and having been there twice now, and being able to like share, like just break bread and learn and like share this space with true Africans. Like it's dope, fam. Like, and being able to see that on such a wide scale, from your Moroccans to your people from Cape Verde to people from all over the whole of the continent, you're like, right, okay, I get it. Do you know what I mean?
And in that as well, I think one thing that struck me and was a reminder, because I know it before, but just how diverse the continent is, with all of the different fans, the different languages, the different way. Although it's all a celebration, every country does things slightly differently, or has like the Cape Verdeans had the weirdest chant. It's just like they go, whoo! It was weird, but like they were celebrating everything there. I was with the Equatorial Guinea fans. They were amazing.
Or the South Africans, the way that they come into the stadium themselves, they sing, bro.
And the South Africans, where they came in, and that's something that's kind of like really associated with them. Like Ghana and Nigeria do the praise and worship as songs that they sing during the games, and like it was just so interesting to see just the variety and differences on the continent. I think that hit me more than in Cameroon. Obviously, Cameroon was just because of the coming out of the COVID period, but like it really felt that the continent really traveled to come to Cote d'Ivoire, and you saw and met like so many different people that were having like different experiences as that. But how did you guys find it in terms of like the variety of people? Like, because we were going to the Sofitel a lot, and then that was kind of like the hub where people would gather and stuff like that. And so you ended up meeting like different types of people, different walks of life, and just like it was interesting just to have different conversations. And I know that you guys definitely spoke to people as well.
I remember Kwame and I were going to a game. It was the semi-final, Kwams, wasn't it? And we were, we met a you know, just like a funny guy called Sebastian, who is a football agent, and he also works with one of the teams out there. And like, we got to talking, and he was a cool dude. Like, we were just chatting, whatever. He then proceeded to ask us about Top Boy, and then ask us if Summer House was a real place in London. On the because back he of had a coach been having this debate with his child, his son, about whether Summer House is a real place or not. Because he travels to London quite a lot. And his son was trying to tell him, no, like, it's a real place, a real place, a real place. So he then goes to, like, FaceTime his son and use me and Kwame as, like, authentic Londoners to validate the fact that Summer House isn't a real place.
Not real, yeah.
And then his son, like, eventually believed him because me and Kwame said so. So it's just, like, a bunch of... That's just one example of the bunch of characters that we met. But, Stephen, to touch on your point around the diversity and, like, the differences, I also feel like the one thing that joins everyone together and brings everyone together is just this kind of unspoken openness slash vibe to just, I really can't explain it or put words to it, that everyone is just so open and friendly and just like open to chat. You can approach anyone, you can ask anyone anything. Like, it's just an amazing feeling to have, man. And like, again, the tournament itself, the football was sick, but just being on the ground and feeling that energy, that buzz was something that, I don't know, man. I feel like it's charged me up for the rest of the year, bro.
Yeah, it's a carnival of like culture rather than it just being about like sport. Like that is such a great like advertisement for just like Africa and coming to and going to visit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that AFCON in itself is about the sport and about obviously the game of football, but when you have so many different countries descending on one and different cultures and communities, like, you're gonna get like a mixing pot and a blend of stew that is just amazing. So yeah, it's not just about the sport, man. It's about the people and the vibe that come with that.
And as I was going to say, we also got the opportunity to do some sick opportunities whilst we're out there. And it kind of started before we even went there with kind of like the episode that we did prior, which was around the Pride of Africa. And then just looking back at that and like now in terms of like what the intent of that was and then actually experiencing it out there, would you say that there's a big difference between the way the culture celebrated in the diaspora versus like actually on the continent, like in terms of like, you know, we've been to kind of like all of the events in Amsterdam and like when it came in, what would you say?
I think
from doing that first piece where we tried to convey that to like experience it out there.
No, do you know what?
How do you convey?
I think the diaspora does a great job in connecting the dots. Like, I wouldn't even look at how we try to portray it, like that you can't portray it in a way that you have to kind of be on the ground. But if you go to these events, you're gonna be part of that feeling. Do you know what I mean? Like, Stu, you're gonna feel a part of the diaspora. Do you know what I mean? Like the piece that we did, we weren't at a Stu event, but if we went to a Stu event, you'd be able to know like what we're talking about. So I do think that there's a great, like, they do a great job of like portraying and translating that energy from the ground to like Europe as well.
And then I would say, to answer your question, Stephen, it's like what we do in the diaspora is like a really put together good TV show, and the version back home was just uncut. It's like, yo,
whatever goes, like everything that is good, bad, and vibey, it's gonna happen here. And you're gonna accept it, and that's it. Like there's no TV except that's gonna be like, hey, stop. It's like, no, this is happening, and it's happening.
For real.
The thing I miss the most, you just reminded me. The thing I miss the most about Africa is that you have a fresh phrase called TIA. This is Africa. And it literally just means that anything. Is possible.
Facts.
Like, at any time, anywhere, anything can happen.
That is
and
a
I, what I love most about the continent is that no 2 days are ever the same. Like, you honestly, you do not, like, I can tell you what's going to happen in my week here in Amsterdam. I can tell you how much, with 80% accuracy. From day to, as I woke up in that blessed hotel in Cote d'Ivoire, I had no idea what the next 24 hours were to hold.
That's true.
A mundane, a mundane day where I planned to chill ended up being one of my most taxing days that I was there.
Nah, it was the night before I found out that I had to do the wrap up for the whole of the world to see.
Talk about that though.
Ooh, millions of views, fam. Trust me.
No.
It made me think about like when we were going to the games. When we're going to the games and like we'd be at the apartment at 12 and Stephen would be like, yeah, we need to get on this bus for 1:30.
Pull up to the hotel.
These times we haven't showered yet.
And the game's at 8.
It's like, we need to go.
And Kwame, Kieran and I will be like, yeah, but en route. Still moving at a snail's pace.
Bro. No, but I think it was Wednesday or Thursday night. Stephen's gone up to me. No, me and Stephen are working on like some work pieces, and Stephen's actually got me working out there. I was like, I'm very grateful, man. I wanted to get some work in that, and then the guys from like CAF have come over whilst I'm working on this other piece, and they've gone, oh, Kieran, so you're going to be doing a spoken word for us. I'm like, what? When? And then Steve was like, oh yeah, I was going to talk to you about this. I was like, brother, what do you mean?
Zero heads up.
Man. He's like, yeah, we're going to shoot tomorrow. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, we're going to shoot tomorrow. I was like, oh my gosh, man. These men will vouch for me. I was up that night just scribbling and trying to figure out these words that I was going to put forward for them.
And then I was on a hand to assist you immaculately the next day.
Stephen definitely gave me a hand in getting those bars up.
No, I'm talking about the actual shoot day where I was.
Oh my god! So yeah, so the night before, Stephen has left me to come up with like he's like yeah like here's what I've got to you, but like do your thing. I'm like, Stephen, I can't actually say these because like I need to say them how I'm going to say them. So I'm going to like write. I'm just going to write it on how I want to write it, right? But I was like, save for this. I'm going to get there. So anyways, it must have been about 9 and I've gone, fuck, I've got a fair amount to do before the morning and I've got to commit this to my memory sort of thing. So I've gone away, started to, I like got to a place. I was like, this is actually feeling nice. Like I'm happy with what I'm writing. And then I got to finally where I wanted it to be. I was like, I'm happy I got to it. I think I sent it to Stephen to be like, yo, Stephen, look, I've done this. What do you think? Stephen has sent me a selfie. Yeah. I think it must have been about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. A selfie from 40-40. I've gone, this guy's not. He's taking the piss, bro. I was vexed. I was like, how's this guy out? And he's got me working on two projects at the same time.
And would you call, just for reference, would you call that like the 40-40 a modern man's club? A modern man's nightclub?
Steven's modern man, yes. And then, so morning's come now. Morning's come. And I've been told that I've got to get to this place for like 8 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yes.
Which means yes. I've got to get up about 6, get ready and get out. By the way, at 6 o'clock in Abidjan, it's already 30 degrees.
So 33, bro.
33 degrees.
In fact, in Abidjan, it's always 30 degrees.
Yeah, it's always 30 degrees. Yeah, it's always 30
even
degrees.
Even at nighttime, bro.
Nighttime, morning time, no it's 33 degrees.
Bro, I packed a couple long sleeves for not a little nighttime vibe. Not one got touched. They were not necessary, bro.
So I've got ready, put my shorts on, yeah? And I've headed outside, got to the place, and I've got there, and the guy who who's leading this whole project on filming this spoken piece, has gone to me. He's gone, Key, where's your trousers? I've looked at him and said, bro, what do you mean trousers, man? No one told me I had to wear trousers. It's 33 degrees. He goes, yeah, but we're shooting. No, someone should have told you that you need to wear trousers. So I've gone and called the man down.
No, you messaged in the group chat and I lied to you, but I'll explain why I lied to you.
So I messaged the group, yo, man, could you do me a favor? I need some trousers. Could someone send them to me with a Yango?
No, you said, can you Yango me some trousers?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bro, it was like 8:30 in the kitchen. I put the phone down and started laughing.
Why?
Like, what is this, fam? I was like, I have no faith that trousers could be Yangoed to you, bro. Like, this must be a world record. Anyways, so after like Kieran phoned me and he was like, oh, bro, do you want a message? I was like, no, this is me, no, what message?
Oh, you lied.
You had to lie, fam. Because I was beside myself. I was like, what kind of day is this, fam? What day is this? Anyway, so often, like, we went on FaceTime quickly. Then you told me to bring you one, not one, but two pairs of trousers. So I went downstairs. Then this Django man, I gave him this plastic bag full of two trousers. And I put a plastic bag in the passenger seat like it's an actual VIP customer.
Yeah.
And I had faith for mustard seed that it would get there, fam. And somehow it did.
In the meantime, as it's happening, Stephen arrives. Yeah? Stephen actually arrives. And I'm going through the lines with these guys to tell them, like, what type of shots that we should get for the film and that. So anyways, Stephen's messaged you lot and said, you, man, can you lot sort out the podcast for later? I'm going to be assisting Key. So I'm like, cool. So I'm like, all right, cool. We're going to be assisting. Like, he's going to be assisting. I'm thinking I'm going to get some BTS shots and whatever and rare. Bro, we start shooting, yeah? And Stephen is sat in the dugout, yeah?
In the dugout.
Chilling. When I say man is chilling, he's chilling. And he's not doing nothing. I'm looking at him like, this guy has told these man that he's assisting me. And all he seems to be assisting is his numbers on social media as he posts up a video that I took of him in slow motion.
With no mention or tag.
Oh, that was so bad. Stephen, I'm here to tell you that was bad.
Wait. So several things at play. Obviously.
By the way, he'd been out until 7 in the morning and came straight to the shoot.
Lifestyle.
This guy.
Lifestyle.
Hey, when you've got that much creative talent on the pitch, you don't want to micromanage. You just got to let Kieran be Kieran. You got to let him like run find them pockets of space, which he was finding with absolute ease. And then my role was just to keep him happy, keep him hydrated. I gave you two bottles of water. You remember the two bottles
you
of
did,
water I gave you?
You did, yeah.
You did. Yeah, it's hot, but I gave you those bottles of water. And then that's what it comes down to, those little critical inputs.
No, but you're such a critically funny man. But Kieran, you spoke about the spoken word piece.
Yeah.
And I was telling you like you're a real artiste in it, bro.
Why?
And like you create and you create great work.
Yeah.
But you really are you really are perceptive and reflective on how the art is received.
Yeah.
Ask you one question before, I'll ask you another one right now. Can you tell me some of the numbers after like 3-day breakdowns on across various social media platforms?
Bro, I was not expecting for it to do what it did, man. That's for sure. Like, was it 10 million across socials? Like, across
10
all 10
million
platforms.
On TikTok only, fam.
Huh?
I swear. Well, wasn't 10 million on TikTok only, or was it 4 million?
I think it was like, no, it was like 7 million on TikTok.
How much on Twitter?
One mil on Twitter. Like 2 mil on Twitter, 1 mil on Instagram. It was like mad, bro.
10 million on your first weekend, bro.
And it was like, do you know what it was? It was like the positive sentiment of most of the comments.
Yeah.
Like it was ridiculous. Why is this guy British?
Wait. Speaking of positive sentiments in the comments, which we'll come back to, because what do you call it? A Monte Carlo, like Modern Man, had a bad time out there. But anyway, we'll get to that. A Monte Carlo Modern Man. But Kieran, that's the best bit. Like, don't forget, like, Kaf put it on their channels.
Yeah.
It wasn't on low-key out of home.
No.
So most of the world saw this completely unbiased.
Didn't Didier Drogba post it? Crazy, bro.
That's beautiful, bro.
Yeah, man.
I feel like Alex Ferguson, you know.
Hey, Stephen, no, honestly, like, for a big game, wouldn't have been in a situation if you didn't put my name for it, but I appreciate the pressure, innit? Pressure makes diamonds, bro. You know,
Shining bright. Shout out Rihanna.
But Stephen, what happened to you? I think you had a moment in the comments. What happened to you?
Modern man, Monaco.
It wasn't spoken word, but words were spoken. Let's put it that way.
Merch madness.
Merch madness.
Let's put it that way.
So
the scene is I've got a gift for my idol JJ Okocha.
Oh, what a guy, by the way.
Big legend. And then I've let the CAF team know that, you know, I've got this gift. And then they said, oh, okay.
What's the gift?
It was a patchwork jersey of all previous Nigeria kids all into one, a kind of a commemoration of his career and where he's featured in. And then, you know, they were like, you may or may not get an opportunity to present it to him. So last minute, it turns out I've already left my hotel. I'm already dressed. I'm dressing for like a normal day because, like I said, like, you remember what I said earlier? No 2 days are the same and true. You just got to be ready. After this day, I never carry a tote bag. After this day, me and this tote bag, which
it's
is true. Kieran's, by the way.
It's
but
true.
We're joined at the hip.
My
or by
fucking
the,
tote
by,
bag.
By the
one that you never
the whole
gave
time.
Back to me 2-3 years ago.
No, it's coming back. We're just doing some wear testing, Kieran. You'll get it when we complete it. And then, so then last minute, it's like, okay, cool. You're going to get the opportunity to do a piece of content with JJ Kocha. So I'm like, oh my God, I got thrilled. I'm like researching, making sure I know my facts.
That would go well on the CAF channel?
On the CAF channel as well. Yes. At this point, I'm wearing my own clothing, which is very kind of modern, relaxed clothing.
You didn't do a laundry day yet, had you?
No, because funny enough, all the clothes I had packed all the clothes I had packed for Côte d'Ivoire did not make it to Côte d'Ivoire, and when I it was an absolute mishmash when I opened up the suitcase. I had long sleeves that I could not wear. I had two suits that which ironically would have worked for this interview, but I did not know. Lo and behold, I did not expect to see one of the legends of the game, a man known for his relaxed style on and off the pitch. The last thing I expected to see was in a suit and sandals, bruv. Looking like Jesus out here, bruv. And I was wearing a long Monaco tee, salmon colour, my green trousers.
Green line trousers.
Yeah.
They're quite nice.
They're quite nice.
Instagram,
right? Yeah. No, I didn't get it from Instagram. I don't do my shopping from Instagram like you. And then I also had like some Bay Ice shades, you know, to protect the vision.
But you also were repping because you had some AJ1s that had
a Nigerian flag on it, and I had my ring which has a Nigerian flag on it, and I had a chain which has a chain of Africa on it, and I'm very pro-African, as you can tell. But as we did this interview, as I looked my
and you had your hat on backwards.
I had it on backwards because my mind was forwards. Exactly. So as we entered this stadium where we went to record, and I'm looking at one of my icons in the eye and just like enjoying, embracing this moment, I am none the wiser that the letters Monaco, which are
written across my chest
like Superman, would come back to haunt me. Like, the day of reckoning finally comes when this content is due to go out. A lovely interview conducted. I have no idea of what's coming. Why I'm thinking, great content. JJ spoke so freely. Some real gems there. Wow, JJ Kocha, people are going to love this. 52 minutes in to the content being posted, I'm seeing references to this Monaco tea. And I'm like, hold on. Did I have some sort of like vulgar statement written on this? I think Yaf, I see Yaf on his phone.
Yeah,
so Yaf is probably going to read out the comment, or one of the comments there, like the comment section was flooded.
We don't need to give it any airtime, man. I ain't gonna read that.
You're not gonna read it?
Nah, man.
Oh, you can't find it. Okay, good. I'm glad you're not gonna read it. I thought you would. So the comment section is filled with people just outraged the fact that I'm not representing Africa, that I'm wearing Monaco. They're like, how dare you? And you know, people asking me to come dress correctly. And what people don't realize is I had no idea JJ was gonna turn up in a suit. I had been briefed on a relaxed and informal interview.
The same way Kieran had no idea they had to bring trousers for his recording, right? They just assumed they didn't tell him.
Yeah, but the difference is I apparently didn't have anyone I could fall back on for a quick yangs. I didn't have the Justice League there to protect me. I didn't have the Justice League. I had the Injustice League there, reveling in my downfall.
You could have told your maids and butlers at the bloody
Injustice
hotel.
Justice League! I was beefing with those people, trust me. I didn't get my laundry back for a week. And lo and behold, the comments. I may post one of the comments later when I psychologically recover from it. But no, it was amazing to get those opportunities. And the last one that we got was with someone we can now call a dear friend of the pod, Jufi. Jufi, we got an exclusive El Hadji Juf, and that was everything you would expect it to be and more. I think from the entrance, in terms of how. Oh. Maybe Kwame could just set the scene of how we were nervously just kind of preparing the space, wondering if it was going to come across right, and then all of a sudden, in comes Jufi.
And Jufi is a man that looks good for his age. In his early 40s, a retired African legend. He won AFCON 2001-2002, I want to say, and he's always sported this like blonde fade, like this high blonde fade. And all his life, he's been like a decent height, maybe 6 feet, 6'1". But this day in particular, Mr. El Hadji Diouf is looking like maybe 2 or 3 inches taller. Why? Because he's wearing some rather tall and overly pronounced Balenciaga Crocs, which are giving him a full like dimension when he enters the room. They are metallic, they are plastic, they are tall, they are powerful, they are everything that is El Hadji Diouf. And then like I was like, yeah, this is insane. And then but it was a great interview. He was very candid, also very professional, and he also said, this was quite interesting, he said that if he had met Steven whilst he was playing, his career would have been cut short to 2 years. So he's very happy that he met you in his life of retirement, because apparently you are quite the party goer, Stephen Apampa. You're quite a modern man, some would say.
It's a case of mistaken identity. But prior before we go into the interview, I think you and Kieran got to meet him poolside, and. That was quite yeah, experience. Yeah. I'll let Kieran walk through this encounter.
So I guess like my preconceptions of Jufi, now known Jufi, before then was El Hadji Diouf, was that he was quite a character anyway, and I believe that the British media had shaped my own understanding of how he may have been. So when he came over to us initially, I was like, "How's El Hadji Diouf? That's cool." Like, I wasn't too gassed about it. I was like, "Oh, that's real cool." And I think he was very familiar with Stephen already, so they made a little bit of joke and whatever. And I think he asked the group where everyone was from, and. I made the remark that I was Jamaican, which, by the way, once everyone finds out that I'm Jamaican, that listen to my spoken word, they really might have a problem, you know. they were talking like this British boy, but this is a British Jamaican boy. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I found that quite funny when I was reading some of those comments. But he was like, Yardy. And I was like, okay, Yardy. And then he began to tell me about his connections to people.
No. Remember, he said, do you know that we run your country?
Yeah. I didn't know if he was talking about Senegalese people.
Yeah, I was like, Senegalese?
I was like, really? Senegalese people running? And then he told me about his connections to said individual who I don't really want to name, because I don't know. Yeah. Like, I was like, really? Raw? Okay, mad. Like, and I just thought it was just like, is man trying to show off? Like, why is he trying to show off at that? So I was kind of on the back foot a little bit. I was like, I don't know if I like this guy. I don't know if he's trying to show off to me or whatever. And then he was like, yo, I'm my friend. He's Jamaican. I was like, who's your friend? He's like, bruv, Ricardo Gardner. I'm like, oh, that, obviously you played together, innit? He's like, yeah, that's my brethren. Like, when I go back, like, I spend time with Ricardo. I was like, cool. He's like, I'm gonna call him now. I'm like, okay. And he FaceTimed Ricardo Gardner and said hello. He said, yo, I'm with one of your countrymen. Come say hello. and he literally put the phone in front of my face, and I got to speak to one of like a Jamaican legend, just like that. He was at a football game, I guess in the UK. He got up from his seat, went to a quiet area, and just said hi to me for like, we spoke for like 2-3 minutes before I handed the phone back to Doofy. And just like that, me and Doofy became friends, fam. It was mad.
One of the many random stories of Cote d'Ivoire. Was that
day one for you?
No, day two.
But the idea is just funny. It's just so relaxed. And I think it's testament to us, man, in terms of like, we're able to just make people feel comfortable enough. I mean, not that Juf, we're worried that Jufi would not be comfortable around us, but like, there's some real gems in that episode if you guys haven't listened to it. I think my favorite part was when Jufi was telling us that he has like two wives, and then just seeing Kieran's face, and in my mind I'm just thinking like, Kieran, hold it together, hold it together.
See, but like, the perplexed look on Kieran's face.
He said, "Oh, he said something about two wives," and I was like,
three daughters and two wives."
Yes, and I looked at Stephen.
Stephen looked at you,
and I said, "Keep it together, keep it together." Because then he followed by saying, "Oh, you know, I'm Muslim." I was like, "Okay, I get it." Like, because I was like, "Rah, swear."
But those were some like amazing opportunities we got, and just the randomness that we had. I think my most random funny story was, I'm not sure if you guys were there, but like so I'd been getting into like, I don't want to say a sport bother, but I've been getting like in the phase of trying to keep a low profile. So I'm in the stadium, and then my cousin calls me up to come and sit up with him. And so I'm sitting there, and these are like really, really like good seats, really good seats. And then next thing I know, my phone's going off, and then people are like, Stephen can see you on TV. So like, I was just busting up laughing, because like the brief of the day was to keep a low profile. And then all of a sudden, like, my phone is going off. I think, yeah, you have to text me at one point.
And not just TV, you're on Sky Sports, fam.
Yeah. Big like, Sky Sports, bro.
Big Sky Sports, like the pinnacle of sport in the whole United Kingdom. Like that's our ESPN, isn't it, big man? You made it. Mr. Monaco, aka Modern Man, you made it once again.
No, it was when the texts were going, there was a couple of people, I was like, okay, cool. I thought it was just like a Eurosport thing. But then Yaf texted me, this is mainstream.
And Joe, the worst thing, like you were a retired ex-African footballer, Emmanuel Shea Adebayo, Togolese legend, played for Arsenal, Man City, Real Madrid, Tottenham. But you look more like a baller than him, bruv. You're on your phone. Once again, these same trusted, blessed, bay eye, pink tinted glasses, hat turned back, on the phone, really, really shot calling. And like, Adebayo was there watching the game like a scout or something. Like, but you were there like, oh, what's this idiot saying now to me on this phone, bruv? Looking like a real power agent, fam. So
after Yaf texted me, I was astonished when my mum texted me, and I was astonished that she was one watching the game, and until that she caught this moment. So that was just like a surreal moment. Shout out for Yaf for the screen grab.
I feel like the whole trip was just like a collection of random moments beautifully put together. I'm sure we could probably go on for ages about all of them, but I need to get home. And also, to the audience, you know, thank you for rocking with us. Thank you for being patient. If this episode has felt like a bit of a Cote d'Ivoire brain dump, that's because it was. And we hope that you've enjoyed the many random stories that we've had along our travels. So, yeah, if you ever get the chance or you're looking for somewhere new to go, hit up Cote d'Ivoire. It's a sick country, man.
For sure, man. And I guess this is where we say goodbye.
For now.
We will be back eventually. But please, as Stephen said,
bear with us.
Enjoy us as we're here, and bear with us whilst you can. But you know who it's been, man. It's been the Out of Home Podcast with your boys Kieran, Yaf, Stephen, Kwame. And we'll be back.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Bonsoir.
Not sorry.
Cool madness.
I'm not sorry.
Peace.
You London boys are crazy.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.